Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Raging Imagination, or maybe you're about to listen to Raging Imagination. Danielle and I are having a lot of fun exploring the different parts of Tamros, so if you're liking what we're putting out there, please comment, share, follow, like, all the things you're supposed to do. And check us out on Facebook under the page Raging Imagination, or you can look at our video on Raging Imagineers, Raging Imagination. There's a lot of imagination going on. But please, check us out. Give us a chance. Maybe we're interesting. Maybe we're not. Maybe you like us. Maybe you don't.
There.
Like, share, and follow. Cheers, everyone.
So we're back at...
Oh! All right.
So we're back at Fox and Fable. And we're going to...
Did we ever leave? We must have, because I'm wearing a new shirt.
I am. Put my jacket on. And we have Kayleen.
Hello.
So, we're going to interview Mike. We're going to learn more about Mike Hicks.
As an artist.
The brains behind this podcast.
Okay.
I have a list of questions for you, Mike.
You can grill me. I'm ready.
Ash very nicely wrote out for me.
Okay.
What is your first memory of the arts?
I cannot confirm nor deny. Oh, sorry. What? First memory of the art?
So, like, when was your, like, you're like, oh, wow, that was super cool. Or, like, you were, like, drawing a picture.
When you first realized what art was.
Oh,
or how
see,
you
that's a different.
To it.
That's a good question.
I don't think, for me, I didn't understand what art was until I was probably closer to 40 years old. I mean, I love to draw. That's fun. I like drawing. Wow, that looks so realistic, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize it as art. So I started drawing at a very young age.
Yeah.
And I drew all my life. I learned how to draw through comics, Conan magazines, other magazines, the human form, I'm very good at, and then,
horses.
What's that?
Horses.
Oh, yeah, I did that, right, I drew Tippy the Turtle, when I was like 12 or so, and then I was enrolled in the Minnesota Art Institute or something like that, but then we couldn't afford to keep up with it, but it taught me a lot on shading and certain dynamics, so that was probably the so I was 12 or 13 when I first understood an aspect of art that was other than what made me happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That endorphin that you get. But that one is like, oh, there's skill.
Yeah.
There's learning. There's practice. And that's the first time. We'll go with that one.
I got a question then for you with that. So you've obviously been involved with arts as being younger, but what was the first moment where you defined yourself as an artist? Not just doing art, but you as an artist.
I love that question. So if we go back to when I learned theater, when I stumbled into theater in Camrose, it had to have been a good 10 years before I associated being on stage with being an artist. It was a tool at that point. I get to express myself.
Yeah.
I get to let this go. People look at me. I get to draw in attention. And for a part, that was good enough in the sense, like, I got people to applaud me.
Yeah.
I got people to look at me. And I was talented enough that I could pull in certain things. But it had to have been probably early 40s when I realized the profound nature that art can have on people and that I could impart on people.
Yeah.
That's when it was, so it had to have been in my early mid 40s.
And was that a specific show that did that for you? Or is it just suddenly just like an all of a sudden was just like a, oh.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, let's amend that.
Okay.
This would be the First Amendment. I'll skip to the Third Amendment because I don't want to touch the Second Amendment. But the First Amendment of that is actually, it was like 3 years after I started with Church Mice. I did Little Orphan Annie. Then I did Cuckoo's Nest. and then I did Music Man, and then I directed. I wanted to be Kenny or Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Okay.
Okay. John Steinbeck, and I said, "Hey, Church Mice, we should do this show. I'm not a big guy. I'd be great for Lenny." And they all said, "Yes, that's an awesome show. We should do it. You said it. You direct it." And I was just like, "But I want, oh man!" And but then that was when I realized that I get to orchestrate the story.
Yeah,
I can change it. And people said, "Oh, you can't do that." Well, why not? Well, because I guess you could. Look, I want to do that. And that's when I realized the artistry of not being the focus, but now. Yeah. There's a lot more into that as a director.
Yeah.
So that would probably be, yeah. So that was probably that first moment.
Yeah. Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. No, mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really interesting. Some from drawing so young and you're not calling yourself an artist that long of a time period.
It was just fun. I just did it for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And I'd imagine when, like, your approach to direct the first time, like, how nerve-wracking that would be.
Oh, they made me direct. And it was like, some of my best successes were when I was so far over my head.
Yeah.
And I dove in and I found out that is a legitimate way to live. That, and I would have said for many years that you should always choose me because I'll always find a way.
Yeah.
I might not do it myself, but I'll find somebody who can teach me or that'll do it, and we'll find a way to get it done.
Yeah. Working with you, I would agree with that, absolutely.
Okay.
Like, the way that I can see you network with other people or find a solution, I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It may
yeah.
not be what everybody agrees with, but it's a solution, and it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And I can see why you make the decisions that you do.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
No, no, no. I totally yes. take it that way. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's we all want to be mysterious, and we all want to be loved, and we all want to be this, and we all want to be that, and you know, my mysterious side is so far back there nowadays. Mm-hmm. I want to be understood, and yeah. I want to be taken for who I am and what I want to be, and you know. It always drives me nuts that, you know, I'm arguing. If I argue, it's because I want to understand. I want to learn.
Yeah.
I'd rather be wrong than to not come out of it with any knowledge.
Yeah.
I'd rather go, oh, shit, you're right. I'm sorry. No, that's so true. I'll have to implement that.
Yeah.
Rather than we've gone nowhere.
Yeah. And we're just arguing yeah. for the sake of arguing.
Yeah, so.
Right. So do you think art is important to society?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, you want me to think about that one?
No, you don't have to think about that one at all.
No, I totally didn't 20 years ago think, you know, art was just for entertainment, for Hollywood, for my fun, my enjoyment. But now I look at, you know, different stories can impact differently. When I get onto a stage, I want somebody to walk away and think about, you know, why? Wow, that burglar was not comfortable in that situation. And I feel bad for him. Why do you feel bad? And then that educates and that learns. Yeah. I've learned so much from so many people around cameras that I call bullshit, but they were right. You know, it's just like, ooh. You know, somebody once told me, theater is, if nothing else, it's to teach and to learn. I was like, fuck you, it's to entertain. We just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I want the audience to come in and entertain. And although sometimes that's what it can be, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But most often, if you can teach or educate or somebody pick something up and learn something, it is so much more important. And that's how we tell stories.
Yeah.
You know Homer? He wrote the Iliad.
I was going to go with, like, Homer Simpson?
No.
He did not write the Iliad.
That's where we get a lot of our history from.
Yeah.
As vague and whether it's real or not, the Homers from the BCE era.
Yeah. You know, so. I have the Iliad at home on my bookshelf.
It's an interpretation, right? It has to be an interpretation because it was written in Greek, Latin, or something like that.
It was, like, written in ancient Greek.
Yeah.
And it's one of those classic books or whatever that was on sale.
There's a little
day.
Story for you. My son's girlfriend, Jess, wonderful, wonderful person, and I love her. She makes my son happy. But she said something, and it was a trigger.
Okay.
She said, we were talking about the movie Troy, and she said, she's a little thing, I wish they would, it was a good movie, it wasn't real historically accurate, which is the first trigger, and then she said, I wish they would have made Patroclus Achilles' lover like they're supposed to be. Which, okay. Well, okay, so these are fictional characters, right? So, but it inspired me, and this is what art is. All of a sudden, I go back. Now I'm looking at the Iliad. Now I'm researching this movie. I'm researching the different interpretations of the Iliad by different people.
Which is interesting, too, because like we also see that go through with King Arthur and all the different interpretations
exactly.
of that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like there's a lot.
So
oh,
many
yeah.
different ways that that has been spun and portrayed and drawn and painted and told, but it's all verbal.
And the Iliad is harder to read than Shakespeare, and it's vague as the Bible. So you
yes.
can take that and interpret it
yes.
what works for you, and I think that value, and that's important. And son's girlfriend made me realize that the perspective and the view in which you receive art from
yeah.
is just as valuable as what that art is.
Mm-hmm.
So she is incredibly fair, accurate, and right in her perspective
yeah.
of what that is.
Yeah, and
and
I
that
too,
I don't see it as strongly as her because
yeah.
I'm looking through a different lens, a different bias, and we're both very accurate in this sense because it's written that way.
And to me, good art should be talked about, not just you.
Yes.
That's how you know.
I'm scared to bring
it
up. It
doesn't have to be good in your eyes,
yeah.
but it's still a strong piece. Gets people talking, changes
yeah.
culture, changes ideas,
yeah.
gets you
yeah.
know other people with their views.
I'm afraid to bring it up because my son likes to avoid emotional conflict a little bit. So anyway,
all right,
that's what it is.
So this carries on with that. Can you respect art that you don't like?
100%.
Excellent.
I mean, yeah, you have to, once you acknowledge that it's art, then you have to respect that there was intent in that happening.
Yeah.
And somebody created that for a purpose.
Yeah.
And for whatever that reason is, maybe that purpose was to aggravate people in order to make that emotion part of that piece of work. I don't like it, but I respect what they're doing.
A lot of times, too, like I'm learning as I'm getting older, too, like the time that it takes to create it.
Oh,
I may
yeah.
not understand it. I may not like it, but respect on the time that it took for them to put their vision together.
Yeah.
That's intense in the sense that Suzanne just did that in 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever
yeah.
it was. Ah, man, that's so impressive.
I
yeah.
respect the fact that they took the courage to get up and show their art.
Yeah.
That's another element, too. I mean, which is, I guess that could be peripheral to art, or is it symbiotic with art, where to have the courage to present your art.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for somebody could do it and then live under a pseudonym or a pen name.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could hide behind that. And if it's good, then I'll come out. But for a lot of people, drag shows, inexperienced young people just coming up into their art, to present that publicly is hard.
Well, I even think about Banksy. He's could come out, and he's not. He's not eating up that fame.
Who?
Banksy, like the graffiti artist.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Everybody knows who he is, but he hasn't shown his face.
Okay.
I don't know who he is.
That's
you said that night. There was
yeah.
a there's a movie that parodied that guy. They used him as a. It was an okay movie. It had Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Of course it had.
What's that?
Of course it had Kevin Hart.
Yeah, it's just like, right.
My questions.
Do you think AI is an art form?
I've actually talked about this and I've thought about this. Somebody has to program and input the elements to create that art. So, is it an art form? It could be. So, in the sense that if you tell it to create this element, and that element would be different if you use three different elements.
Yeah.
And the mood you're in, if you're the implementer of those, you're in a different mood. You're in an angry mood. You're going to have three different things.
Yeah.
Implement, and that's going to create... Now, it's a smaller in the sense of to do something creatively, manually, to me, is more impactful. But I'm not ready to completely diminish AI as an art form, if you know what I mean.
I don't like how it steals art, but at the same point, it also has no soul to it.
But could you do something and say, look what I did, and it's AI, and then would you feel the soul into something if you don't know it's AI?
I think that the soul comes from the mistakes and it not being perfect, not having six fingers and three sets of teeth by accident.
Just like those AI videos of gymnastics.
Yeah.
So they're
like the monsters.
Just like their legs are just boom. Yeah.
There is a joy in the imperfection of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if joy is the right word, but there's a truth to it.
Yeah.
And I respect that. Have you seen I love these new AIs. You're looking at a sushi roll that rolls over and it turns into a grub worm. The mashed potatoes turns into little polar bears.
You keep sending me those. It messes me up.
Like,
who likes to eat food?
Oh, I don't. Kathy, my wife did not like the sushi one.
But I even remember, it was probably like 15 years ago, but I saw someone Photoshop a piece of pizza into a model just to show.
Right? I've seen
like
that.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, that's kind of scary. Like, that skillful.
Yeah, that's an art in itself.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've seen that too. So it's skillful and artistic to make something out of something else. You know, you could go down this rabbit hole and until... You say, make art, and then it creates something that's legible and has both subjective and objective sides to it, then that's when we get scary. But that is going to be just before Skynet takes over the world, and we'll be dying shortly thereafter, so it won't matter. So.
Apocalypse.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We'll just end up in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Probably already are in the Matrix.
We could be.
So waiting for the zombie wave first?
Oh, take me out of it first. I don't
want to
live through it.
Oh, I'll have some fun with that. Have a little bit of fun with it.
Oh, on Keanu Reeves. That's my point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to be Keanu. I want to make a movie with Keanu Reeves, Brendan Fraser, and Ryan Reynolds.
There we go.
And we just have them sitting around a table saying nothing, and you'll make $1 billion. In Canada.
I will pay a lot of money to see that.
Yeah. No, I thought about it. You get a movie with those two, and they'll each play their, Brendan, he won't be like he was in Mummy,
yeah.
But he'll be an architect type. But like a professor, and Keanu Reeves will be like a retired cop, and then Ryan Reynolds will be a brutal, and they're trying to solve, and they all hate everybody, and they're all trying to they make a big wager on who can do the nicest thing for somebody else, and they gotta because they're all assholes. We'll parody the whole. It'll be like opposite Canada. Like they're all total assholes, and they're all made a wager on who could do the nicest thing for humanity. And they're all just trying to one up each other. And then it's like at the end, it's like, "Fuck you guys! What do you think, you're Canadian or something?" That'll be like the last line of the movie, or something like that.
So my question was like, so if you could work with any actor in the world. Those three.
Now that's a different question. I think that would be a blast, and I would love to do with it. But I, you know, what's his name? Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh.
I think he's so profound, and I think he views art and acting as a next level.
Okay, I need someone to say something that he's been in because I can't.
Tim, there's a hit about you. He was the guy who loved the younger sister.
He was made famous by Third Rock from the Sun.
Okay, yes. I can't remember names.
He was Robin in Batman.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't use that name.
Okay. Until the very end Blake. Of yeah. the movie, and then why did it give us one where he became Batman!
Okay, yeah. Okay, now I know who we're talking about. I couldn't put the name to the face. Because I can't do that. I can't even draw your face.
I think he's one of the...
But you captured his eyebrows wonderfully.
I did. You did really good. All right. So what is your current favorite style of art?
Acting.
Acting?
I kind of... That's where I want to be. I always want to be on stage.
Yeah?
And I think that's my favorite style. I enjoyed all the other art forms, but I think I'm better at that one, too.
Yeah.
And I connect with it better. So.
What about something that you don't connect with?
Reverse question. Yeah. What's that?
Which is your, I said Uno reverse question, which is your least liked style of art?
If we look at rap and heavy metal, that's my least favorite song genre. I think I would tend to shy away from aggressive forms of art, violent aggressive forms of art, which okay. is, you know, but there's intense, aggressive forms of art that I could get by.
Yeah.
And it's not an all or nothing. It's just in general.
To me, it's paint pouring.
Paint pouring? Okay, yeah. Oh, that's just annoying and satisfying at the same time.
Right? Like, I understand the relaxation, the satisfaction. Yeah. It can turn out really cool, but I'm like, but if anybody can do it.
Yeah. Where's the...
Where else? Yeah. Find something that makes you, that it's your style.
Okay. Well, that's not just the point of the paint pouring yeah. is being willing to let it happen.
Absolutely.
And let it go.
Oh, that can be yeah. painful for some people
yeah.
who have control issues. Like, do you know any of them?
I did a paint pouring with my sister-in-law, and she is a very talented artist, and she's trying to make her paint pouring picture into something magical and profound, and just... She did a really, really good job, and I'm just like, okay.
Oh, man.
And I think that's how I see it more. I was just like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, can I have another canvas?
And then I was just like, okay, now we're going to, we're going to take this glitter, and we're going to put some glitter here, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to put a gem there, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this and this, and, I just let it the background be what it was, and then I added to it.
There's a guy on TikTok who does ink spot art, and he just goes, plop, and then he starts... And then it becomes this dark, beautiful, he's of Norse Scandinavian.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've seen that.
Yes, and he turns things into some of the craziest, wonderful pieces of art. And that is...
But you start with a random shape, not yeah, going,
yeah,
you,
you
turn
just,
it to
yeah, yeah.
Plop. Yeah.
So I like how that's... It's
watercolor! Yeah. I hate the idea of trying to do watercolor.
Do you know what?
But it's so brilliant when people are good at it.
I found out the hard way that it's absolutely backwards, too, as a pencil artist.
Are you saying it's easy?
No.
Good.
It's backwards. It's backwards. So you are, it's light to dark, and dark to light. It's two different things. So depending on how your brain is naturally honed in on your values and your shadings and the actual lighting of it, watercolor is very easy for somebody or very hard. I don't think that there's an in-between.
Yeah, I think art that you start with a big picture and then fine-tune it, that's problematic for me.
And screwdriving time.
I focus on that, and then I work around, and then I work around, and then I realize the proportion of that is way off.
Yeah, fixing it's harder.
Yeah.
You can't just erase it. You can't just paint.
But then that becomes your style.
Yeah.
Watercolor is hard.
Meticulous, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there an art that you have wanted to try? That you just haven't gotten around to yet?
I would like to sculpt. I would like to get into possibly a clay-type sculpting type thing and see if I could do a reasonable face or a sculpture. I thought that would be really interesting. I'd like to try sculpting.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I could see you being good at it. I could also see you yelling at mud.
Oh my god, at the shop, you can always tell when Mike's good day or bad day. Fuck! Mike! Shh. Oh, sorry.
So we need to get Mike some Play-Doh.
Get some air dry clay.
I have air dry clay at home.
Is it time sensitive? I have to be able to have her done in that day.
Oh, well, yeah, you could sculpt it that day, and then you let it sit there and dry for 24 hours.
Okay, no, that's fine.
And it's cheap to start, so you're not spending $50, and you're like, I hate this.
Yeah, okay.
I do it with my kids.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
And I hate the smell of Play-Doh. Passionately hate the smell of Play-Doh.
Me too.
Like, instant migraine. My poor kids. They love Play-Doh.
As soon as somebody mixes the colors of the Play-Doh, I'm like, how dare you? I just walk away.
Oh, God.
I can mix paint, not Play-Doh.
Me and my youngest daughter have gotten into mixing Play-Doh with different textures, like mixing it with slime.
Okay, I'm with her on this one.
No. Mixing it with, like, kinetic sand.
I'm very sensory, but no.
Sand Play-Doh. My favorite was just straight up just regular sand mixed in with the Play-Doh.
I've made home make my own Play-Doh now because I just can't stand the smell of store-bought, and like I will make it smell nicer, but I will make it coarser, so like add coarser salt instead of like the regular salt, and I do like that, but I don't like slime at all. Mm-hmm. No.
See, I have slime on my phone, so I was like, oh, you mixed it in with Play-Doh, well it should be less slimy. Nope.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, this.
But you stick it in a balloon, it makes an awesome squish.
Sorry.
it's too close to boogers.
Yeah.
I can handle boogers. I can't handle slime.
No.
What is something that you just can't handle?
What gives Mike?
I oddly agree with the boogers comment. I don't like stinks. That's, I can't handle that.
I can handle spiders.
I have cinematic genre crossover issues, right?
Yeah.
Like in the sense, like, you know, I like a drama, I like a comedy. If you're going to mix the two, it gets difficult.
Yeah.
You have to match it well. I like a rom-com.
Yep.
Because there's a suspension, a pull away from reality. Nobody actually is that dumb about, you know, those misconceptions. But it's fun and that sort of thing. But some movies, I know they want to go deep into this emotional whatever, and they throw in comedy in weird places, and it bugs me. And you know, it's like throwing a Monty Python scene in the middle of The Godfather. It just doesn't work. It wouldn't work, you know? And unfortunately, Broadway tends to do that, and they want...
I am picturing it now, too. The argument...
The argument.
How did they paying for an argument? Like, what's a good argument and have that in the middle of The Godfather?
Oh, yeah. It's just like, and then the movie wouldn't make, it wouldn't have the same impact.
No, I know, yeah. But it could happen.
You ever heard of, what's his name? It's an old black and white movie. The Maltese Falcon with, Humphrey Bogart.
Oh yeah, that's his name.
And there was a movie in the mid '80s, late '80s, called Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yes.
And that was Steve Martin took that movie, Maltese Falcon, cut scenes out of it, refilmed all the cut scenes in black and white, and blended it together. Now that was brilliant because it's hard to do, but. Yeah. That was the point.
Yeah.
You know, the point of it. So I like the idea of a cleaner genre.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to mix it, you got to do it well.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Got to be done well. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was all my questions that I had.
Final thoughts?
You could inspire someone to... Like a director or an up-and-coming person in the arts, what would you say to them?
Oh, man, that's actually... That's a question. That's a good question. And as I get to know you, and that's kind of giving me an answer, too. My suggestion would be to any upcoming artist that is trying to fully develop is... Feel your emotions. Let yourself being take over from your emotions from time to time. Feel it. Don't hide from it. Don't try and push it away. If you're angry, be angry. Like, spit and yell and throw things in a safe, productive manner.
Yeah.
And if you want to cry, cry as hard as you can cry till you're dehydrated. Laugh till you pee your pants.
I can do that.
And then, and then look at the other side of things too. And it's just like, be open-minded. Try to prove your what you truly believe in as wrong.
Yeah.
Try to find a reason to doubt yourself to help yourself be more secure in who you are. And watch people. Watch people everywhere. Watch them perform. Watch them succeed. Watch them fail. See how they act. But that's, you know, I mean, and all that impacts art too, because as you're an artist, your mood influences what you create.
Yeah.
You look at people like Jackson Pollock. He's nothing but splatter, right? But those splatters were intentional. That the color he used was the mood he was in,
yeah.
The amount of force he threw that brush, or whether he drizzled it and let it fall into place. All those are factors in to create that abstract work. It's so, be open-minded. Don't close anybody, any ideas off. That's my biggest thing.
I got one for you. What would you tell younger Mike as an artist? Like, what you could wish you could tell yourself before you realized that you were an artist?
Eat less carbs. eat less carbs. Work out a little bit more. And don't believe what you believe is fact. Don't be so aggressive with what you believe is true. Open your mind. Explore other truths, other possibilities. I consider myself a slow learner. I consider myself a much wiser man than I was 10 years ago, compared to 20 years ago, compared to 30 years ago.
And I'll continue.
Yeah, I should have been... I should have been this smart when I was in my mid-30s.
but we knew everything then, right?
Well, yeah. I was just coming off. I was getting into art. Oh, this is easy. I can do this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you always think you know more than you do. Even now, there's things like, God, I wish I could put it into better words so that you understood me. And then that would be, yeah. Then people would understand, I disagree with that, but I totally make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my pet peeve is just like, and I do it so terrible sometimes. I get triggered into an argument and I just puke out words that I'm angry about. And if I can calm myself, okay, why? Explain to me. Let's go through this at a slower rate and make me understand. Help me understand.
Yeah.
I need you to understand and that sort of thing. So. That there's a few people in my life that I need to do that with. Slow down. Don't let them. No.
Not you, Dan.
Not you. Slow down. Don't let their words trigger you. You know. That was my. Where's my interesting things?
Right there.
Less carbs. Work out more. that was something I wanted to read. People's behavior and sarcasm specifically, right?
Yeah.
I get triggered by that when people resort to sarcasm and making jokes about a topic when you're trying to have a discussion.
Yeah, sorry
to
about
me,
that.
To me, that suggests that they don't have an answer and they're trying to subvert into, blaming something else. And so, well, you know, if you say... why do you think that's bad? Well, why do you think it's good? Well, I didn't make the statement. You did.
Yeah.
So, you know, being defensible and that sort of thing. So, and I know people that are closed off in that sense, too. And then they don't want to talk about profundities and anything. They just want to bark their opinions or whatever.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's Mike.
That's Mike in a nutshell. Oh,
Mike
in a nutshell.
Mike and the arts.
I
want to
know about the Air Force connection.
Oh.
We can do that probably in another podcast.
Okay.
Because I'm in a time crunch.
Okay.
So that is
time. Okay. How long was that ish?
It was 34. About 30.
I'll cut that down. I'll probably cut that down to 15, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Raging Imagination, or maybe you're about to listen to Raging Imagination. Danielle and I are having a lot of fun exploring the different parts of Tamrose. So if you're liking what we're putting out there, please comment, share, follow, like, all the things you're supposed to do. And check us out on Facebook under the page Raging Imagination. Or you can look at our video on Raging Imagineers, Raging Imagination. There's a lot of imagination going on. But please, check us out. Give us a chance. Maybe we're interesting. Maybe we're not. Maybe you like us. Maybe you don't. Like, share, and follow. Cheers, everyone.